Right now, it is time to bring our good friends Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the Frick and Frack of Nick and Knack. It is time for Appraise This. And, of course, you can find them on the web at tqag.com. Good morning, Tim and Greg.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
It's we're finally getting some warm weather here. We've had mornings in the 20s here this week, and we're finally in the 30s. And tomorrow we're shooting for 50. So maybe we'll catch up with you.
Oh my goodness, we have been down as low as 62 degrees.
You know, it's funny if for people that come from the north, 62, and you get a little wind, all of a sudden the fireplaces have to get started up.
It's chilly.
You know, that's how you can always tell here in the wintertime people who are from someplace other than Florida, because it can be 65 degrees or 60 degrees and they're still at the beach. So, you know, it's like, well, they're on vacation, so they have to go to the beach. So. Doesn't matter what the weather's like.
It's funny. Each April, I used to take a month off and go to Florida and golf. And I'd be out there. It'd be 55. I'd be out there in my shorts and a polo shirt. And I'd see people in their sweatshirts, sweatpants.
Yeah.
Because if it was 50-some degrees, it was chilly. So anyway, well, it's nice to speak to
what
you guys.
What a bird brain.
Dumb as a dodo. I had teachers that say to me something, Miles, you're as dumb as a dodo bird. So they were right, because I had to go look up what a dodo bird was. Well, anyway, we'll get away from that. So I looked at a story. I think it comes from artnet.com, and it's about the New York $1.4 billion fall auction season. That is amazing. I've always been aware of the fall auction season, but these things, that $1.4 billion auction season, it's astounding to me.
Yeah, it's, you know what, and what we are seeing, and this is partly to do with, there's a number of different factors, but I think people had such a adverse negative a negative projection of what they thought the COVID pandemic was going to do to all of these markets. And I think it turned out to be the polar opposite, is that people were home. They're like, oh, let me put my money into something. Oh, let me buy more. And things on, especially online auctions, and the number of people who have really embraced online auctions just across the board has been just amazing. And I think that that has a lot to do with this, is that even as appraisers, we were looking at this pandemic as what is this going to do to the market, and is this going to affect prices? And in some categories that were already accelerating, they've continued to accelerate. Other categories that were on a downward spiral anyway may have either leveled off or will continue to be in and around where they are. But people have found an access to these markets, and I think that that is a reflection of that.
It's just pretty amazing when you look at these at these numbers. It really really is amazing. I want to go to a negative story, and I don't know whether it's a negative story or whether it's a story that was just dug up by the media. And there was a report that, and maybe this is true, because what goes on in life in business probably transfers to the art world. That women artists account for just 16% of NFT sales over the past 21 months. Are there less female artists than male artists? Is it, or is this just something that goes along with like what business is like in this country?
Well, Greg, go ahead.
If you stop and think about it, how many female artists have you heard of that have really been major successes in the media? Now, I'm sure there are a number of female artists who do their works do command, but that for some reason I don't think I've seen very many articles on women artists. You know, like for example, like a female Basquiat. Is there a female Basquiat sort of artist? Because it, I don't know. I think a lot of it has to do with the prices that are generated as to what focus goes on an artist. And usually it appears as though male artists have the edge on the publicity for high-end sales. So I think there's definitely fewer women artists that are recognized than there are male artists. And, you know,
I think it's what Marshall was saying. It's a reflection of what goes on in business. And I think that what you see is that it's that same type of thing, is that more and more women are, they have an outlet. And with the NFTs and being able to do that, they are getting a platform to be able to do that, because it's no longer just waiting for the galleries to represent, or you're working on these things and hoping that you get a show. Here, it makes it so much easier. I mean, it's just like TikTok and all these other platforms have made people media sensations, or, you know, influencers. That this also is an avenue that artists can use, and I think that's. We're going to see more and more of that as this just becomes more pervasive in our daily life.
I just thought when I saw the story, and this is probably, I just thought, you know, there's so many people out there writing stories and going on with this woke thing, and they look for any crack there to come up with a controversial story. That's what crossed my mind when I first saw that story.
Right.
You know, that's just me, you know, media frenzy to come up with more and more and more and more stories like this.
Clickbait.
Yeah. There you go. You've got that. Now, speaking about clickbait, now, my mother had a piece of art in our house. It wasn't art. It was Chinese jade. And it was an amazing thing, and it was very rarely brought out. I see now a rare Chinese jade and bronze dagger, $2.6 million. You know, it's just amazing some of the things that you see out there, and the age of the things and what they go for and how they survive this long.
Well, Asian things in particular, the jade. I mean, we've seen examples of jade that are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old, and they just don't deteriorate. So, in a way is kind of a problem, because it's so hard. You really have to know your stuff in order to identify the age of some of these materials, because we've seen next to each other, actually, in someone's home, pieces of jade that were really valuable, and then almost a similar form next to it in jadeite, which looks very much like jade and is not as valuable. So the Asian artifacts. I think a lot of it also has to do with the provenance, where it actually came from. But they do. I mean, I think we talked about it one time. The little bowl, the little rice bowl that sold for some astronomical multi-million-dollar figure that somebody bought or found in a thrift store. Who knows? Maybe your mother had an actual treasure that was worth $2.6 million.
I don't know about that, but it was an interesting, very small piece that was, it wasn't for anything but a decorative piece. It had four dragons on it, and it was not big at all. And I I don't remember what happened. I think my father might have sold it when he had tough times late in his life. But whenever I see something like that, I always think back to that little piece of jade that my mother had on display in the house. And it, by the way, it was up high enough so kids couldn't get anywhere near it.
So. Right. Well, and also, just for clarification on that story, it was actually an auctioneer. A friend of ours, Lark Mason, it was his site that was selling a lot of, it was a variety of Asian works of art on his website. So that bronze dagger, the dagger that you're talking about, the bronze and jade dagger, that actually sold for $57,500, that one piece. And that was part of a wholesale that did 2.6 million. Okay. So it, all of the Asian works of art in the, and I think there were 400 lots that were in this sale, that's what did the 2.6. So the dagger itself, which was a very old piece, it was estimated, and I think it sold for $57,500. So that's one of, with an original estimate of 5,000 to 8,000. So, no, there was another one. I'm sorry, not $58,000, $450,000. So it says this it skyrocketed to $450,000 from its original estimate of 5,000 to 8,000. So that was part of this whole Asian works of art collection that was being sold.
Yeah, you know, I look at these stories that come up, and do you deal with much pottery in your appraisals?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. We do.
Is pottery something that is as collectible as art?
Oh, absolutely. And there again, you know, if you recall, we had talked about items that people collect that you don't have to be spending $2.6 million in order to have something nice. There's a lot of pottery is one of those things that it doesn't have to be really, really expensive. The market for pottery over the past 10 to 15 years has somewhat softened, except for the really, really fine pieces that are hard to come by. But I used to collect pottery because it was inexpensive. But I used to collect specifically Ohio pottery made in Ohio, which was kind of the hub for 19th and early to mid 20th century pottery, collectible pottery. You've heard of McCoy. You've heard of some of the other companies, and they used to be worth significantly more than they are now. But they still are collectible, and just because something doesn't have a high price tag on it doesn't mean it's worth and not worth collecting. So this is one of those type of collectibles that if you want to start something and you like pottery, really focus in on the type of pottery you like, the form you like. Sometimes, like for me, I had a very particular form that I liked. So instead of collecting all kinds of pottery, I focused on one particular thing. So, and that's the beauty of pottery. There are so many different forms, so many different materials to collect. So some people might collect what's called sang de boeuf, which means blood of ox. And that's a very deep red. And maybe that's all they collect is ox de boeuf pottery, which is it's a Chinese pottery, or it could be as simple as Roseville pottery. You might like a certain shape of Roseville pottery, and Roseville pottery is very affordable right now. And if you like it, collect it. So don't ever. We always tell people don't be shocked that you know what you're collecting isn't going to might not increase in value, but that's not why you collect it. You collect it because you like it. So I don't believe that if you've been bitten by the collecting bug, it doesn't matter how much it costs. If something costs $10, and you like that, that's your price point, find something that is the best at $10. So that's kind of my philosophy on collecting, especially the difference between affordable collectibles and untouchable collectibles.
You know, I want right. to. I've got a story here, and it's once again about collectibles. And you, back in the days when it was founded, 45 years ago, of course, Steve Wozniak, Steve and Patrick Jobs, and Daniel Hart built 200 Apple One units. Okay, these Apple One units were put on a. They were on a plywood plank with the keyboard attached to all things, to probably like a $90 TV. They expect there's very few of these left. It is going on sale at an auction, and they think it could fetch about $600,000.
Yes, I read that article too. And first, when I saw the keyboard, I thought, oh, somebody must have done this, you know, made like a handyman made a case for their keyboard. But then you turn around and you see the back of the keyboard, and it's the original keyboard. So but it's amazing how large it is compared to what we have today. You know, you can hold it today you can hold it in your hands.
yeah well, this piece is, yeah, it's going up, and actually one sold in 2014 in New York. An Apple One unit sold for $905,000. So it'll be interesting to see what this one, if it does sell, you know, in the $600,000 to $700,000, or if it breaks $1 million. But it has the potential, because there are a number of people that like the computer, especially Apple, the early beginnings of the Apple computer. So it'll be interesting to see how this really performs at auction. I think the auction is in a couple days, or in a week or so, and it's out in California. It's at one of the auction houses that I know I've been to, that's right outside of Los Angeles. Uh-huh. So really nice.
Well, as we wrap up, I want to say thank you for that, because I was sitting here thinking $500,000. I think this thing is going to go for $1 million.
Yeah. Yeah, you are correct.
I mean, come
remember,
on.
Remember, the auction estimates are marketing tools, and they got your attention.
All right, guys, I want you to have a great week, and we'll speak to you next week.
Hey, have a great week.
Take care, guys.
Bye.
Tim, Luke, and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This. And once again, you can find them at tqag.com on the web.